This is KGNU Media Gardens, Nuestras Ondas, La Encrucijada. Where Boulder County youth tell their stories, give their perspectives, and become a seed to amplify youth voices from our community. Today's segment is brought to you in partnership with the Lafayette Youth Advisory Commission.
My name is Andrea Montiel-Lastiri. I've been an active member of the Lafayette Youth Advisory Commission for 3 years and 2 years as a co-chair. I'm also a high school student.
Hi, my name is Isaiah Williams, and I've been on LEAC for 2 years, and I am also a high school student. The Lafayette Youth Advisory Commission, or LEAC, is the City of Lafayette's youth board. We are made up of 25 middle and high school students and supported by a small team of adult advisors. Today we are joined by Lafayette City Council Member J.D. Manget and Lafayette City Council Member Inese Medrano.
For today's interview, we'd like to focus on police-teen relations. We'd like to get your perspective on these issues and on what the community can do to help address them.
How can we facilitate stronger relationships between the police and teens?
This is a tricky situation, right? Because people are upset with each other, right? People are mad. Young people have witnessed videos and seen things on the news and on TV where they have seen individuals their age, especially people of color, being killed and murdered in the streets by police officers, right? Those are images that you can't just take lightly. How do you move forward from that? So I think what it comes down to, first and foremost, I think based off of recent events, it is on the police department to better understand the youth first and to take the initiative. Understanding what the youth's needs are, having conversations with them, learning about their experiences, what is not working from a youth perspective, I think is the first step. Afterwards, I think it also is important for them to meet on that two-way street and have the youth understand what are police like outside of the uniform, you know, and what are they like with the uniform on? What are their values? Why do they believe the things that they do? What values do they have? What is their life like? I think it's important for every young person to go on a ride along with a police officer and understand what is a day in their lives look like. And then, you know, ultimately what it comes down to is, to me, it's all about restorative justice. When it comes down to it, like a lot of young people, their interactions with a police department are typically negative, right? It's punitive. It's we're arresting you for something. We are ticketing you for something. And so, you know, you just off the bat, you don't like that, right? And so I think that if we can focus on reforming our justice system where not every single interaction young people have with our police department is negative, maybe that is a great second step into evolving that relationship.
How we're approaching this issue from the LEAC perspective, what we were thinking about doing is going to the Lafayette Police Department and maybe doing a little presentation on what it's like being a person of color, especially youth person of color here in Lafayette. A lot of these issues happen because people are not educated on them. So I believe that if we get to that point where we can educate them, maybe they'll have a better understanding from our perspective. And I think we can also learn something from all of this too, because we each help each other and understand what our struggles are. And I think, like you also said, JD, doing those ride-alongs also are going to help us too. It's a really great way of approaching it because we're both listening to each other. I don't know if Isaiah wants to pitch in and talk a little bit about it too.
I agree. Me personally, I don't have the best relationship with police officers, but I'm definitely open to creating a better one and advocating for others so we can start going to a good direction. I really just think that perspective and putting yourselves in others' shoes can really help the relationship between police and teens, just because I know, like, my perspective, it's getting better as time goes and working with the police, but is not having that trust, which we all should have that trust, just because I know, like, seeing things on social media traumatized me, and I know many others, and I think it's just important to understand where people are coming from, because if the police understood how a teen, a student of color in their community, how they feel, maybe just walking in their street, I think it would make them just reflect and help them understand how they can maybe go on and serving in our community.
Those are all amazing ideas. And I think especially if you take a look at, like, the course of history over time, all significant change has been made through individuals with passion, a plan, and a community to rally with. And you all have a lot of that here in Lafayette, which is great. And you're in a leadership position where students around the community actually look up to you. You know, if you're able to use your knowledge and your drive, right, your drive to want to make a change in the community, you have all the resources available to do that. So I would fully encourage you all to move forward with conversations like that with our chief and with the rest of our police department.
What's your perspective on the community's relationship with the police, and what should it look like?
This topic is something that really interests me. I'm a third year at CU Boulder studying sociology in hopes of becoming a police officer one day. It's one of my big goals. I would love for our police to always try and learn more about our community and the different groups and types of people that we have in our community, because that's the only way that we can serve people is getting to know them. That's what I would love to do, is to serve my community well by getting to know who I'm serving and creating that trust as best as possible.
One of the things that I really admire about our police department is their shared understanding sessions, where they've held over the last year, they held about 3 sessions across the community. And it was the heads of the police departments as well, our chiefs and our commanders, who sat down at local parks and local community centers and had conversations with people directly. And you had people of all ages and backgrounds in the crowd asking direct questions and the police answering them. And so I think the relationship is starting to grow and mend a little bit more, because you have a proactive police department looking to solve some of these issues. And you have an engaged, passionate community wanting to get involved as well.
Me personally, I can't speak for everyone, but I feel safer without a police officer with maybe like a gun and stuff like that in schools. But yeah, and having someone that's has more of a role in understanding kids, talking to kids, person you can like talk to and who can keep the school safe, but also, I don't know, socialize with the students and make you feel comfortable in schools.
Can you tell me, and I guess the audience, a little bit more about this new role? Are they different from the SRO, or what is their purpose? What are they dressed like? You know, What are they like?
Yeah, so basically, instead of an SRO, they're unarmed, and they play more of kind of like a counselor role, but also they're to protect us as well, but they're not in their uniforms. And they like focus a lot on restorative justice too, more of that, not necessarily like giving them tickets and stuff like that. They're also there just kind of like a counselor. They've been hired and they're getting trained all throughout. And that's good. It's like a lot of implicit bias training.
Yeah, I think that's sort of goes hand in hand with what I envision the future of our police department to look like. I think they already do a good job of this, but it's having the highest of standards for hiring a police officer. I believe that our police officers, and a lot of them already are, need to be highly educated. They need to go through rigorous trainings when it comes to not only addressing crime in Lafayette, but also how to diffuse situations, especially when working with young people of color. Watching videos, reading articles and stories of victims throughout the country that have been killed by police officers. I think all of those things need to be integrated within our hiring process and our training process for our officers. And I think all that stuff goes a long way to then first understanding the problem and then being able to find a solution. I think that's so cool that you have, you know, still a presence in the school, not in uniform, and that is willing to learn about you all and connect with you all. I feel like if that was the case with the SROs across the country, you know, a lot of them wouldn't be being pulled out of schools.
Since the police are no longer wearing uniforms in certain schools, making their presence less intimidating, is there a way to make this applicable to the community and other public spaces? How can they be involved in the community events as a member rather than as a police officer or an enforcer?
That's a really good question. I do admire a lot of the work that the police department does on a volunteer basis outside of work time when it comes to supporting events in our community, especially, you know, the Martin Luther King Day celebration that the Youth Advisory Commission hosts every year. A lot of our police officers do take time outside of their duty hours to support our community already. You know, I would just like to see as much of it as possible.
The relationship might be there, but it might not be as strong as we need it to be. We need to eventually start moving towards something better through that relationship, humanizing the police and just creating a better understanding so that relationship gets stronger, because we're not against each other. We should be working with each other for the benefit of everybody.
LAAC has collaborated a lot with Chief Basher and the Lafayette Police Department, making events where the community can go and ask questions about anything they want to ask, or just in general to build that relationship with the Lafayette Police Department. And actually, that was a conversation we had during one of those meetings where the police department expressed how scared and how vulnerable they felt during like the whole Black Lives Matter movement, because they were scared what would happen if something happened here in Lafayette and stuff like that. And we kind of responded and said, that's how the BIPOC youth of color feel here in Lafayette every day, just simply by their skin color. So I think that really created a sense of understanding for each other. And that's actually, I think, how Chief Basher like, reached out to us and was like, I thought about what you said, and that's awesome that he listened to us and that he wants to support us.
Going past curfew can be a municipal offense and cannot be recommended for restorative justice.
The current curfew for minors is 11 p.m. on weekdays and 12 a.m. on weekends.
Research has shown that this curfew is affecting BIPOC youth and youth from low-income families disproportionately due to discrimination and lack of transportation.
Chief Basher has expressed support for eliminating this curfew.
So our question is, what is your perspective on the current curfew?
If the research shows that this is affecting our BIPOC youth and youth from low-income families, I totally agree with the Lafayette Youth Advisory Commission's proposal on eliminating this curfew, and I'm very happy to hear that Chief Basher also agrees with this.
I'm fully in support of Chief Basher and the Youth Advisory Commission. This is one of those examples that I was just talking about, right? Working hand in hand for the betterment of a community. Getting rid of the curfew here in Lafayette, I think, is almost a no-brainer. When young students are punished for simply, you know, being out too late, they're fined and they're ticketed, and then they're forced to go through our judicial process as opposed to any alternatives. Not only is it important to eliminate these initial barriers, but at the same time, it's reforming the entire system as a whole, right? So what other ordinances or laws are in place that are directly targeting youth, and what are the consequences, right? So how do we change both of those things to ensure that our young people aren't stuck in a system of, hey, you did this wrong, here's your punishment, and now go to jail for it, right? Or, you know, that sort of culture that's being perpetuated by these types of existing ordinances is something that I think is the reason why there's this animosity in between a lot of young people of color and the police department.
Is there anything else you'd like to cover, any other remarks?
So one thing I think that I really want to close off with, during the civil rights movement, people forget how young a lot of these leaders are, right? Martin Luther King, in his early 20s, he was leading a lot of these marches and delivering those famous speeches. The Greensboro Four, sitting at the Woolworth counter in North Carolina. And you have Claudette Colvin, who was only 15 years old, protesting her right to sit at the front of a bus before Rosa Parks. Unfortunately, in addition to all that, the death of a young Emmett Till, right? So you have all these movements initiated by young people, thought of, created by young people, and then adults coming in to support them. That's how it should be. Thank you. That's all I have for you.
Thank you for your time, your insight, and your public service. Eunice, I actually remember you when I was in middle school, and I think I was like in seventh grade, and I was an AVID, and you were presenting on how there needs to be more students of color in the IB program, and I think a lot of us looked up to that.
I also remember that presentation, and right now Isaiah and I are in the ethnic studies group, and we always reflect back on what you guys did and what your group did, and we're always like, Eunice was awesome, and we always want to continue that, make sure we can create change at our school and just in the community in general.
That's awesome to hear. Even talking to JD earlier, he has led the way for me too, because he was my coach for that team. I think it's really awesome, even now as I'm, you know, city council elect, reflecting back on the people who have guided me through this process and how I get to do that for other people now. That's my ultimate goal, is that we keep raising up leaders so that one day you guys can replace me and replace JD. We'll forever have to, you know, continue this work.
A diversity of youth voices and perspectives is crucial for a rich, informative, and creative media landscape that enables the growth of civic participation and community strengthening. The KGNU Media Gardens Youth Initiative will continue to amplify more young voices and perspectives through these airwaves.